And now we'll read from the Book of Heaven, Volume 23, the date September 25th, 1927. One who lives in the divine will finds no more ways to go out of it, and one who lives in it contains all the seeds of glory that creation possesses. How Jesus calls her with himself to the work of his kingdom. I was feeling myself in the nightmare of the privation of my sweet Jesus, and I thought to myself, I don't know how my beloved Jesus can leave me. Does he not think that I may become more kativa, bad, without the one who is my life, and who alone can infuse in me the life of doing good? He has no more care for anything, whether watching over me or pushing me or correcting me. But while I was thinking of this, my adored Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, my daughter, it is because I am sure that you cannot go out from within the great sea of my divine will, since I have placed you in it, and you, with your full adhesion, wanted to enter. Therefore, there are no ways through which you can go out of it, because the boundaries of this sea cannot be found. As much as you move within it, you will find neither its shore nor its end. So I am sure that my little daughter cannot go out from within the sea of my will, and this is why I wander far within the same sea, and you lose sight of me. But since the sea we are in is one, everything you do has the way to reach me. And as your acts reach me, I am sure that you are in my sea. And this is why I have no care. On the other hand, before I was not sure about you. And this is why I had such great care for watching over you, for pushing you. And I would never leave you, because I did not see you in the depth of the sea of my divine will, from which there is no fear that one may go out. In fact, this is the beauty of living in my divine volition. All dangers and fears are banished. On the other hand, one who lives resigned or does the divine will is always... One who lives resigned or does the divine will is always in danger and in fear and can find many ways that one who does not do the divine will and can find many ways that lead him away from the immense sea of the supreme fiat. So I abandoned all of myself in that sea, and I felt happy of being unable to go out of it. And my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, in creation, my omnipotent fiat created many things, placing a good for creatures in each one of them, so as to receive the requital of glory on their part, for as many things as it issued into the light of day. But do you know in whom was this glory deposited, which your Creator awaited? It is in you, my daughter. Because by living in my will and possessing it, you possess all the seeds of each glory that each created thing possesses. And therefore, as you go around in the creation, you feel within yourself the good that each created thing contains. And you do your office of releasing from yourself that glory which your Creator awaits with so much love. What harmony, what order, what love, what enchantment of beauty passes between the soul who lives in my will and all things created by me. They are so bound together as to seem inseparable. The soul who lives in my divine volition lives in full daylight, and her acts, her thoughts, her words are nothing other than the reflections of it. The sun of my will is reflected in her, more than in a crystal. And so she thinks, it is reflected, and she speaks, it is reflected, and she operates, it is reflected, and she loves. There is nothing greater or more beautiful than a soul who lives of the reflections of this sun. These reflections keep her in communion with the acts of her Creator and in possession of His very goods. Furthermore, you must know that just as my humanity enclosed all the goods of redemption and issued them for the good of the redeemed ones, it also wanted to enclose within itself all the acts and goods of the children of the kingdom of my divine fiat. Therefore, as the soul does her acts in it, I expand her capacity, and I place my acts, and so as she gradually enters my kingdom and keeps emitting her acts, I keep expanding her capacity in order to deposit in her all the acts that my humanity possesses, so as to complete in her the kingdom of my will. Therefore, I call you to work together with me in this, my kingdom. I work by preparing the earth. It is necessary to purify it. It is too sullied. There are certain points which do not deserve to exist anymore. So many are their evils. Therefore, it is necessary that both its inhabitants and the sullied earth itself disappear. The kingdom of my divine will is the holiest, the purest, the most beautiful and orderly kingdom that must come upon earth. Therefore, it is necessary that the earth be prepared and purified. And so, while I work on purifying it, and, if needed, on destroying places and people unworthy of a kingdom so holy, you will work by moving heaven and earth with your acts done in my volition. Your echo will be incessant, which you will make resound in all creation, asking for the kingdom of my fiat with your continuous acts, and, if needed, your pains, and even your life. Therefore, mind nothing else but the work we are supposed to do. But in spite of this, speaking of Jesus, I felt a fear that he might leave me, or wander so far away within this sea of his blessed will, that who knows when he would return to his little one, tortured for love of him. And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "Poor little daughter of mine, it really shows how you are a little child who bothers and cares with nothing else but to be in the arms of her mama. And if, may it never be, her mama leaves her for a little while, she cries. She is inconsolable and is all eyes to look for her mama and fling herself into her arms. So you are, my poor little one. However, you must know that it might be that the mama leaves her child, but I will never leave my tiny little child. It is my interest not to leave you. I have my will in you. There are my acts, my properties. Therefore, having of my own in you, it is my own interest not to leave you. Rather, my very things call me to you, and I come to enjoy my own things, my divine will reigning in you. Only if I told you, give me what is mine, give me my will, then could you fear that I might leave you. But your Jesus will never tell you this. Therefore, be at peace.
This reading is good information for us who are trying to be in the divine will. In fact, they all are. They are. But this is more specific. So on the second page, second full page, from the top, what harmony, what order, what love, what enchantment of beauty passes between the soul who lives in my will and all things created by me. They are so bound together as to seem impeccable and inseparable. The soul who lives in my divine will, my divine volition, lives in full daylight, and her acts, her thoughts, her words are nothing other than the reflections of it. The sun of my will is reflected in her more than in a crystal. And so she thinks that it is reflected as she speaks. It is reflected and so operates. She operates in reflection, and she loves, and there is nothing greater or more beautiful than a soul who lives in the reflection of the sun being Jesus. These reflections keep her in communion with all the acts of the Creator and in possession of his very goods. And then the following here, we get into where Jesus gives the steps that we need to use, that we take when we enter into divine will. We'll continue. Furthermore, you must know that just as my humanity enclosed all the goods of redemption and issued them for the good of the redeemed ones, it also wanted to enclose within itself all the acts and goods of the children of the kingdom of my divine fiat. Therefore, as the soul does her acts in it, I expand her capacity. So we do our acts throughout the day, all day. So we're expanding our capacity all day on our way to be in the divine will. And he says, and I place my acts as she gradually enters my kingdom and keeps emitting her acts. I keep expanding her capacity. She gradually enters into it. It's not going to be like a bolt of lightning, but what we're doing now, we're gradually entering into the kingdom of the divine will. Let me continue. I keep expanding her capacity, and that's what happens to us throughout the day as we can continue being in divine will, in order to deposit in her all the acts that my humanity possesses, so as to complete in her the kingdom of my will. The highlight of this paragraph is for us, because he's speaking about gradually entering into the divine will, and we do this by we expand our capacity every time we go into the divine will and throughout the day. So we expand our capacity each day, every day. He's telling us how it works, and it's not a bolt of lightning, but it gradually enters into the kingdom. And we keep emitting the acts. We want to hold on to that. It's a good teaching for us to realize what's happening throughout the day as we look to be in the divine will completely. But it's gradual. We get that into our head. It's a gradual thing, and we're doing this every day. We're so lucky, to have this teaching. He's reminding us that all day we expand our capacity because he says so right here. I expand her capacity and I place my axis so gradually. So we know it's gradual. It's not going to come on us right away. We accept that now. He's just telling us this is how it works. It's gradual. Don't expect to know right away what's going on. But we're moving on every day, a little bit, little by little. So I want to continue on. I think I'll read the next paragraph. Therefore, I call you to the work together with me in this, my kingdom. I work by preparing the earth. It is necessary to purify it. It is too sullied. There are certain points that do not deserve to exist anymore. So many that there are evils. Therefore, it is necessary that both its inhabitants and the sullied earth itself disappear. The kingdom of my divine will is the holiest, the purest, the most beautiful and orderly kingdom that must come upon earth. Therefore, it is necessary that the earth be prepared and purified. And so while I work on the purifying it, it needed on destroying places and people unworthy of the kingdom of the holy, so holy that you will work by moving heaven and earth with your acts done in my volition. And we can take part in that. It's a motivation for us to be part of that. He says it's the holiest, the purest, the most beautiful and orderly kingdom must come upon earth. And so we have to not just think of ourselves, we have to think of the general, the whole big picture, that we're part of it. So we want to pray for that also, not just to be in the divine will, but also this, what he's counting on us to pray, because of how ugly it is in the world and how ugly it's going to get. And he says, the kingdom of my divine will is the holiest and pure, the purest and the most beautiful and orderly kingdom that must come upon the earth. So we're going to take part in that. We're going to pray for that, not just for ourselves, but at the same time, we're praying to be in the divine will. So that's for everybody, for the whole world. We're praying to be in the divine will because the divine will is universal. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon. September 28th, 1927. How there can be no imperfections in the divine will, and one must enter into it completely naked. One who does not do the divine will destroys the divine life within himself, and this is a crime that deserves no pity. How the divine will alone is rest, scourges. I was feeling all abandoned in the supreme fiat, but in the midst of all the perfection of a will so holy, I felt imperfect, bad, and I thought to myself, how can it be that my beloved Jesus tells me that he makes me live inside his divine volition, and yet I feel I am so bad? And my adored Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, in my divine will, there can be neither imperfections nor badness. My will has the purifying virtue and destroyer of all evils. Its light purifies, its fire destroys even the root of evil. Its sanctity sanctifies the soul. Its sanctity sanctifies the soul and embellishes her in a way that she must serve to make it happy and let it take all its delights with one who lives in it. Nor does it admit to live in my divine volition creatures who may bring imperfections and bitternesses within them. Those who would be things against its nature, and therefore it could never admit them to live within itself. Rather, what you say are impressions of ugliness, of imperfections, of badness, and my will uses them as a footstool or as earth that it keeps under its feet and without even looking at them. It thinks about enjoying its little daughter and placing on her lap its acts, its joys, its riches, to make her happy, so as to be able to enjoy from her happiness. My will gives what it has and does not admit within itself things, even the slightest, that do not belong to it. Therefore, one who wants to live in it must enter into it completely naked, because the first thing that my volition does is to clothe the soul with light, embellish her with divine raiments, and impress on her forehead the kiss of perennial peace, of happiness, and of firmness. What is human has nothing to do within it. It has neither life nor a place, and the soul herself feels such disgust for what does not belong to my volition, that she would lay down her life rather than take part in what does not belong to the sanctity of my divine will. Then I continued my abandonment in the divine fiat, and my sweet Jesus added, "My daughter, my divine will was given from the very beginning of creation as life of the creatures, and it took on the commitment to maintain this life in them, whole, beautiful, and in its full vigor, administering in each act of creature a divine act of its own, an act of the height of its sanctity, of its light, of its power and beauty. It would place itself in waiting for their acts in order to give its own in such a way as to make it a portent of divine life, worthy of its power and wisdom. In order to comprehend this, it is enough to say that my divine volition was to form as many lives of itself in each creature, and therefore it would place the whole of its ability and the infinite qualities it possessed in the exercise of working. How beautiful these divine lives in the creatures would have been. In looking at them, we were to find in them our reflection, our image, the echo of our happiness. What joy, what feast creation would have been for us and for the creatures. Now you must know that one who does not do my divine will and does not live in it wants to destroy his own divine life within himself that he was to possess. To destroy one's own life, what a crime! Who would not condemn one who wanted to destroy his own corporal life, or one who did not want to take food, reducing himself to being emaciated, infirm, and capable of anything? Now one who does not do my will destroys his life that the divine goodness wants to give him. And one who does my will, but not always, and does not live in it, because he lacks continuous and sufficient food, is the poor ill one, without strength, emaciated, incapable of doing true good. And if it seems that he does something, it is without life, strained, because my will alone can give it life. What crime, my daughter, what crime that deserves no pity? My lovable Jesus showed himself very tired, and as though restless, so great was his sorrow for so many lives destroyed in the creatures. I felt pain because of it, and I said to Jesus, "My love, tell me what troubles you. You suffer very much the destruction of these divine lives of your adorable will. You suffer very much. The destruction of these divine lives of your adorable will is your greatest sorrow. Therefore, I pray you, let its kingdom come, so that this, your sorrow, may turn into joy, and so creation will no longer give you restlessness and sorrow, but rest and happiness." And seeing that with my speaking, I could not get to calming him, I called to my help all the acts of his will done in creation, and emitting my own, I surrounded Jesus with the acts of his will. An immense light formed around Jesus, and that light eclipsed all the evils of creatures, and he could take rest. Then he added, "My daughter, my will alone can give me rest. If you want to calm me when you see me restless, lend yourself to the carrying out of the life of my will in you. And as you make all its acts your own, you will find in you its light, its sanctity, its infinite joys giving me rest. And I will take a little break from chastising the creatures who, because of these divine lives that they destroy within themselves, so much deserve that I destroy all natural goods and even their very lives. Don't you see how the sea goes out of its shore and advances to snatch these lives into the bosom and bury them in it? The wind, the earth, almost all the elements advance to make a snatch at creatures and destroy them. These are the acts of my will, spread in creation for love of them that have not been received with love, convert into justice. I remain frightened in seeing this, and I prayed my highest good Jesus to placate himself and to let the kingdom of the divine fiat soon.
October 2nd, 1927. How Adam was the holiest one before he sinned. Fullness and totality of goods of the acts done in the divine will. How they extend to all. The pupil of the eye invests by the sun. The creature in the divine will lends herself as matter and hides her creator. Example of the host. I was doing my round in the creation to follow all the acts of the divine will that are in it. And as I arrived at Eden, in which God created the first man, Adam, in order to unite myself with him to that unity of wills that he possessed with God, and in which he did his first acts in his first period of creation, I thought to myself, who knows what sanctity my first father Adam possessed, what value his first acts done in the kingdom of the divine fiat contained, and how can I impetrate a kingdom so holy upon earth again, as I am the only one occupied with obtaining a good so great? But while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus came out from within my interior, sending rays of light, and that light converted into words and told me, "My daughter, firstborn daughter of my will, I want to reveal to you, as daughter of my will, the sanctity of he who possessed the kingdom of my divine fiat. At the beginning of creation, this kingdom had its life, its perfect dominion, and its complete triumph. So it was not completely foreign to the human family. And because it was not foreign, there is all the sure hope for it to return again into their midst to reign and dominate. Now you must know that Adam possessed such sanctity when he was created by God, and his acts, even the slightest, had such value that no saint, either before or after my coming upon earth, can be compared to his sanctity. And all of their acts together do not reach the value of one single act of Adam, because in my divine will, he possessed the fullness of sanctity, the totality of all the divine goods. And do you know what fullness means? Excuse me. It means to be filled to the brim, to the point of overflowing with light, sanctity, love, with all the divine qualities, in such a way as to be able to fill heaven and earth over which he had dominion, and through which his kingdom extended. Therefore, each one of his acts done in this fullness of divine goods had such value that no one else, as much as he might sacrifice himself, suffer and do good, but does not possess the kingdom of my will and its total dominion, can be compared to one alone of these acts in the kingdom of my will. Therefore, the glory, the love that Adam gave me, as long as he lived in the kingdom of my divine volition, no one has given me, because in his acts he gave me fullness and totality of all goods. And only in my will can these acts be found. Outside of it, they do not exist. Therefore, Adam had his riches, his acts of infinite value, that my eternal will communicated to him before the divinity. Because in creating him, God had left nothing empty within him, but everything was divine fullness, as much as a creature could contain. And when he fell into sin, these acts, these riches of his, this glory and perfect love that he had given to his creator, was not destroyed. On the contrary, it is by the virtue of them and of his operating done in my divine fiat that he earned the redemption. No, one who had possessed the kingdom of my will, even for a short time, could not remain without redemption. One who possesses the kingdom enters into such bonds and rights with God that God himself feels with him the strength of his own chains that bind him, and he cannot get rid of him. Our adorable majesty with Adam was in the same condition as a father who has a son who has been for him the cause of many conquests, of great riches, of incalculable glory. There is nothing the father possesses in which he does not find the acts of his son. He feels the glory and the love of his son resound everywhere. Now, to his misfortune, the son falls into poverty. Can the father ever not have compassion for his son, as he feels everywhere in every place the love, the glory, the riches with which his son had surrounded him? My daughter, by living in the kingdom of our will, Adam had penetrated into our boundaries that are interminable. He had placed his acts, his glory, his love for his creator everywhere. And as our child, with the acts he emitted, he brought us our riches, our joys, our glory and love. His echo resounded in our whole being, as ours did in him. Now, in seeing him fallen into poverty, how could our love bear not having compassion on him, if our divine will itself lovingly waged war on us and pleaded for him who had lived in it? Do you see then what living in my divine will means, its great importance? In it, there is fullness of all divine goods and totality of all possible and imaginable acts. The soul embraces the whole of the divine being. She is in my will like the eye before the sun that remains all filled with its light. And while the whole sun is reflected in the pupil of the eye, its light remains also outside of it, investing the whole person and covering the earth without departing from within the pupil. And while this light remains in the eye, it would want to bring the pupil into the sun, to let it go around the earth with itself, to let it do what the light does, and receive its acts everywhere as attestation of love and glory. This is an image of the soul who lives in my will. My will fills her with such fullness as to leave no empty space within her. And since she is incapable of possessing the whole divine immensity, it fills her for as much as the creature can contain, and without separating from her. It remains outside of her, bringing the pupil of the will of the soul into the endlessness of its light, to let her do what my divine will does and receive the acquittal of her acts and of her love. Oh, power of my divine fiat operating in the creature who, letting herself be invested by its light, does not refuse its dominion and its kingdom. And if Adam deserved compassion, it was because the first period of his life was in the kingdom of the divine will. If the celestial sovereign lady, though she was alone, was able to obtain the coming of the word upon earth, it was because she gave free field to the kingdom of the divine fiat within herself. If my very humanity was able to form the kingdom of redemption, it was only because it possessed the whole entireness and immensity of the kingdom of the eternal volition, because wherever it extends, it embraces everything. It can do anything, and there is no power against it that can constrain it. So one alone who possesses the kingdom of my will is worthy more than everything and everyone, and can earn and infiltrate what all others together can neither earn nor obtain, because all others together, however good, but without the life of my will in them, are always the little flames, the little plants, the little flowers that, at the most, serve to adorn the earth. They are subject to being extinguished and to wither, and the divine goodness can neither place great entrustments upon them, nor concede such portents as to do good to the entire world. On the other hand, one who lives in my will is more than sun, and just as the sun invests everyone with the empire of its light, it rules over the plants and gives life, color, fragrance, sweetness to each one of them. It imposes itself on everything with its tacit empire to give its effects and its goods it possesses. And no other sphere does so much good to the earth as the sun does. In the same way, those in whom my will lives are more than sun, and with the light that they contain, they lower themselves and then rise with rapidity. They penetrate everywhere, into God, into his acts. With the divine will that they possess, they rule over God himself and over creatures. They are capable of overwhelming everything to hold out the life of light they possess to all. They are the bearers of their Creator, and they let the light walk ahead of them to infiltrate and obtain and give whatever they want. Oh, if creatures knew such a great good, they would compete among themselves, and all passions would change into passion of light for living. Only and always, in that divine fiat that sanctifies everything, gives everything, and rules everything. My poor mind continued to wander in the divine volition, and it marveled at the sublimeness, fullness, and totality of the acts done in it. And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, added, "My daughter, let your marvel cease. The living in my divine fiat is to operate in it. It is to the transfusion of the Creator into the creature. And there is an infinite distance between the divine operating and the operating of the creature alone. She lends herself to her God as matter, to let him operate great things, just as the matter of light lent itself to the divine fiat of creation, to let it form the sun, the heavens, the stars, the sea, all matters in which the supreme fiat resounded, and it manufactured the whole creation. A prodigy of it is the sun, the heavens, the sea, the earth, that were vivified and animated by the fiat, perennial and enchanting display of what my will knows how to do and can do. It happens with the soul as with the accidents of the host that, though being matter, lends itself to let itself be animated by my sacramental life, as long as those same words spoken by me in instituting the most holy sacrament are pronounced by the priest. Those were words animated by my fiat that contain the creative power, and this is why that the matter of the host undergoes the transubstantiation of the divine life. One can pronounce as many words as one wants over the host, but if they are not those few words established by the fiat, my life remains in heaven, and the host remains the wretched matter that it is. So it happens with the soul. She can do, say, suffer whatever she wants, but if my divine fiat does not run inside of them, those are always finite and wretched things. On the other hand, for one who lives in it, her words, her works, her pains are all veils that hide the Creator, and He has created heaven and earth. And He who created heaven and earth makes use of these veils and makes of them works worthy of Himself, placing in them His sanctity, His creative power, His infinite love. Therefore, no one else, though he might do great things, can compare to that creature in whom my divine will lives, reigns, and dominates. Among creatures also it happens that, according to the material that they had in their hands with which to form their works, so does the value they possess and acquire vary. Suppose that someone has properties of iron. How much he has to work, sweat, and toil in order to render the iron soft, to give it the shape of the container he wants to make. And the earning he makes is so small that he can barely make a living. On the other hand, someone else has properties of gold, of precious stones. This one works, oh, how much less, but he earns millions. So it is not the work that brings great earnings, exuberant riches, but the value of the material the one possesses. Someone works little and earns much because the material he possesses contains great value. Someone else works much, but because the material he possesses is wretched and of very little value, is always the poor ragged one and his stomach half empty. So it happens to one who possesses my divine will. He possesses the life, the creative virtue, and his littlest acts contain a divine and immeasurable value. Therefore, no one can equal his riches. On the other hand, one who does not possess my will as his own life is without life, and he works with the material of his own will, and therefore he is always the poor, ragged one before God, and he is empty of that food that forms in him the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven.
I'm going to read from the bottom of the second page. Second page starts with, "This is an image of the soul who lives in my will. My will fills her with such fullness as to leave no empty space within her. And since she is incapable of possessing the whole divine immensity, it fills her for as much as the creature can contain. And without separating from her, it remains outside of her, bringing the pupil of the will of the soul into the endlessness of its light to let her do what my divine will does and receive the acquittal of her acts and of her love. There's another one I'd like to read too. He gives us so much in this reading. There's so much that he gives us that's really valuable. The next page, at the bottom of the next page, he says, oh, if creatures knew such a great good, they would compete among themselves, and all passions would change into passions of light, of living, and only and always in that divine fiat that sanctifies everything and gives everything and rules everything. There's a lot of information like that in it, just to motivate us, just to realize what a great gift that we're being offered. So that's why I just chose those two. There's plenty more in there. It's a nice reading. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Terry. That was a long reading. October 6, 1927. How one who works in the divine will works in the divine properties. How she forms the sun. How God wants to find the soul in all created things. I was continuing my acts in the divine fiat, and my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, one who operates in my will, works in my divine properties, and she forms her acts within my interminable goods of light, of sanctity, of love, of happiness without end. Acts which are transformed into sons, produced by my own qualities, which have made themselves available for the act of the soul, for her decorum, and so that these acts might be worthy of her Creator and might remain as perennial acts to God Himself, glorifying Him, loving Him with His very divine acts. So, before he sinned, Adam formed as many sons as his Creator for as many acts as he did. Now, one who lives and operates in my will finds these sons made by him, and therefore your whole commitment must be to follow the first acts of creation and to take your workplace near the last son or act which Adam did when he possessed the unity of will with his Creator. You must make up for what he did not continue doing because he went out of my divine properties and his acts were no longer sons. In fact, he no longer had my divine qualities in his power, which lent themselves to let him form sons. At the most, as good as they might be, his acts reduced themselves to being tiny little flames, because the human will, without mine, does not have the virtue of being able to form sons. It lacks the raw material. It would be as if you wanted to form an object of gold without having the metal of gold in your power. As much good will as you might have, it would be impossible for you. My will alone has sufficient light to let the creature form sons, and it gives this light to one who lives in it, within its properties, not to one who lives outside of it. So you must make up for all other creatures who have not possessed the unity with my will. Your work is great and long. You have much to do without my endless boundaries. Therefore, within my endless boundaries, therefore, be attentive and faithful. Then I continued my acts in his adorable volition, and as I was going around throughout the whole creation, my highest good Jesus added, my daughter, just as my divine will is spread in all creation, so do I want to find you united with it in all created things, as though spread within
each of them. You will be the heart of the earth, that I may find your life palpitating within it, attending to me with its continuous heartbeat, the love of all inhabitants, of all its inhabitants. You will be the mouth of the sea, letting me hear your voice in its gigantic waves and in its continuous murmuring, praising me, adoring me, thanking me, and giving me smacking kisses, affectionate and pure, in the darting of the fish for yourself and for those who cross the sea. You will be the arms of the sun, so that as you extend and expand within its light everywhere, I may feel your arms embracing me and clasping me tightly to tell me that it is me alone that you seek. It is me alone that you want and love. You will be the feet of the wind to run after me and to let me hear the sweet treading of your steps, which never stop running, even if you do not find me. I am not content if I do not find my little daughter in all these things created by me for love of her. I ask all creation, is the little daughter of my will there? For I want to enjoy her and be with her. And if I do not find you, I lose my enjoyment and my sweet amusement. After this, I followed my beloved Jesus in the acts he did in redemption. I tried to follow him word by word, work by work, step by step. I wished nothing would escape me, so that I might press him and ask him in the name of all his acts, tears, prayers, and pains for the kingdom of his divine will in the midst of creatures. And my adored Jesus told me, my daughter, when I was on earth, my divine will, which reigned in me by nature, and that same divine will, which was present and resigned in all created things, kissed each other at each encounter, and longing for their encounter, they would make feast, and all created things would compete in order to meet with me and give me the homage that befitted me. As the earth would hear my steps, it would become green again and flower under my feet to give me homage. As I passed by, it wanted to release from its bosom all the beauties it possessed, the enchantment of the most beautiful flowerings, so much so that many times I had to command it not to make these demonstrations, and the earth to give me honor would obey, just as to give me honor it would flower. The sun always tried to meet with me, to give me the homages of its light, unleashing all the varieties of beauty and color from its solar bosom before my eyes, to give me the honor I deserve. Everything and everyone tried to encounter me in order to make their feast for me. The wind, the water, and even the little bird, to give me the honors of its trilling, warbling, and singing. All created things recognized me and competed among themselves to see which one could honor me and make feast for me the most. One who possesses my divine will and make feast for me the most. One who possesses my divine will has the eyesight to be able to recognize what belongs to my will itself. Man alone did not recognize me because he did not possess the eyesight and the fine sense of smell of my will. I had to tell him in order to make myself recognized. But with all my telling, many did not even believe me, because one who does not possess my divine will is blind and deaf, and without the sense of smell to be able to recognize what belongs to it. Not to possess it, it is the greatest unhappiness of the creature. He is the poor cretin, blind, deaf, and mute, who, not possessing the light of my divine fiat, uses the very created things by taking the excrements which they release, while leaving inside of them the true good which they contain. What sorrow to see creatures without the nobility of the life of my divine will.
October 10th, 1927. How the divine will is multiple in its acts, though it is one. How it remains conceived in one who lives in it. How the earth is not exile for one who lives in divine will, but it is exile for one who does not do the will of God. My poor mind continues to follow the acts of Jesus, done for love of us. Going back to his conception, I offered all my acts done in his divine volition, together with all my being, for the honor of his conception. In the meantime, a light came out of me, which went to place itself in the womb of the Immaculate Queen, in the act in which she conceived. And my always lovable Jesus told me, "My daughter, my divine will is multiple in its acts, but it disperses none of them. The unity it possesses and its incessant act maintain the unity in its acts as if they were one alone, while they are innumerable. And it preserves in its acts the act of doing it incessantly, always, always, without ever ceasing doing it, to preserve it, always new, fresh, beautiful, and ready to give it to whomever might want it. But while it gives it, it does not teach it, it does not detach it from my will, because my will is light. And light has the virtue of giving itself, of diffusing, of expanding. One can take of it as much as one wants, but it does not separate. It is indivisible by the virtue and the nature which the light possesses. See, the sun also possesses this virtue. Suppose you had your room closed with shutters. There is no light in it, but if you open the doors, the light fills your room. Has it, perhaps, detached from the sun? No, no, but it has extended and expanded without detaching a single drop from its source. However, even though the light did not separate, you have possessed the good of the light as if it were your own. My divine will is more than sun. It gives itself to all, but it disperses no one. Comma. It disperses not one comma of its acts. Now my fiat keeps my conception always in act, and you have seen how the light of the acts done in you extended even into the womb of the celestial sovereign lady to have your highest good, Jesus, conceived upon it. It is the unity of its acts that, centralizing them all at one point, forms its portent and my very life. And so I remain conceived in the acts of my divine volition, in those of my divine mama, and in your acts done in it. Even more, tell you that I was conceived continuously in all the acts of those who will possess the kingdom of my will, because one who possesses it receives all the fullness of the goods of my life. In fact, with only their acts done in it, they concur in my conception and in the carrying out of my whole life. Therefore, it is right that they receive all goods it contains. On the other hand, one who does not possess my will takes just the crumbs of the goods I brought upon earth with so much love. And this is why one can see creatures emaciated and good, light-hearted, inconstant, all eyes and all heart for passing things. Because since the source of the light of my eternal will is missing in them, they do not nourish themselves with my life. What is the wonder then? If they bear a paleness on their faces, if they feel themselves drawing to true good, and if they do anything at all, everything is strained and without light, and they grow so deformed as to arouse pity. After this, I felt oppressed, and I felt all the weight of my long and hard exile, and I lamented to remind about Jesus, because on top of the hard martyrdom of his privations, he adds my separation from my celestial fatherland. And I said to him, how can you not have compassion for me? How can this be? You leave me alone without you. Pray only to your lovable will. How can you leave me on this earth of exile for so long? But while I was pouring out my sorrow, Jesus, my life, my all, moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, the earth is exile for one who does not do my will, does not live in it. But for one who lives in it, cannot be called exile, but one step of distance, such that when one least expects it, once that step is made, she will find herself in the celestial fatherland. Not like one who comes from the exile, who knows nothing about it, but like one who already knew that it belonged to her, and who knew the beauty, the sumptuousness, the happiness of the eternal city. My will could not tolerate keeping one who lives in it in the condition of an exiled one. In order to do this, it should change its nature, and the regime which exists between one who lives in it in heaven and one who lives in it on earth, which it cannot do, nor does it want to. Is it perhaps called exile when one goes out of his home to move just one step away from it? Certainly not. Or can it be called exile when one goes to a town within his own homeland? My daughter, exile means circumference of space without being able to go out. Stripping of goods, hard labor with no way of getting out of it. My divine will does not know how to do these things. And you can see, you can touch with your own hand how your soul has no circumference of place or space, but brings herself everywhere, into the sun, to the heavens, and a few times you have even made your little escapes up there into the celestial regions. And how many times have you not immersed yourself into the very endless light of your Creator? Where are you not free to go? Into the sea, within the air, everywhere, even more. My will itself delights in it. It pushes you, gives you the flight to go around everywhere. It would feel unhappy to see one who lives in it without freedom and as though hampered, instead of stripping my divine fiat, fills the soul up to the brim with its goods, gives her dominion over herself. It converts passions into virtues, weaknesses into divine strength. It gives innumerable joys and happinesses, gives by grace that which it is by nature, firmness, perennial, unshakability. The exile is for one who is tyrannized by passions, without dominion over himself, without being able to move around with his God, within his God. And if he thinks of some good, it is mixed with and surrounded by darkness. So the virtues of the poor exiled one are strained, inconstant. He is a slave to his own miseries, and this renders him unhappy. All the opposite for one who lives in my divine will. Nor would I have tolerated keeping you alive for so long, knowing that you were in exile. Your Jesus loves you too very much. how could he have borne keeping you exiled? And if I tolerate, it is because I know that as little daughter of my will keeps you not in the conditions of exile, but in its own properties, in its light, free and dominating, with the only purpose of forming its kingdom within yourself and of impetrating it for the human family. And you should be happy about this, knowing that all the desires, the yearnings, the sighs of your Jesus are for the kingdom of my will upon earth. My complete glory, I expect, from the fiat voluntatis tua, on earth as it is in heaven. A few paragraphs back, Jesus was talking about the capacity of a person, and all I could I thought about Saint Teresa, saying that she might be, she has a different capacity than another saint. That she was like a small wine glass, and the lady was like a tumbler, or the other saint was like a tumbler. And they could, but her whole self, no matter her capacity, she was full, and so was the person that had a greater capacity. So I don't know if that brought to my mind what Jesus is saying.
Yes, that's a great picture.
Because not all of us have the same capacity. And it is the way he made us. Praise God.
That's for sure, Rita. That's for sure.
Deacon?
Yes, okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here today, for giving us the graces to be here and to help us in our journey to be in the divine will completely. Bow your head and pray for God's blessing. Benedicta vos omnipotentes, Pater, Filii, Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
Fiat.
Fiat. Come to thy will. Have a blessed and beautiful day, everyone.
Yes. God bless all you all. Well. Thank you, Deacon. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Thank you, Deacon.
God bless everyone.
Thank you. Have a blessed and beautiful day.
May we all pray that he expands our capacity.
Amen.